this past year, one of the consistent conversations in pandemic time has been the strangeness of time. It can be challenging to tell the difference between one day and the next. Some weeks go by in a flash, and others get stuck in place. We have all tried mightily to create a new rhythm of life in this time of COVID, one that integrates the many losses and griefs that we have experienced, but also holds space for new experiences and learning. Still, it may feel to you like you have been in Lent already for quite a while now, with plenty of time for self-examination and confronting painful truths, all the while abstaining from so many things that give pleasure. Many enter this season of Lent weary and vulnerable, acutely aware of our own limitations and neediness. And so this is where our loving God meets us today, just as we are. The invitation to a holy Lent, as always, is about repentance and renewal. Our work is repentance, and out of that, God brings renewal. Now, repentance is surely a serious undertaking, but it is not a fearful one. We are meant to take compassionate stock of our spiritual, emotional, and material lives, acknowledging the large and small ways that we have fallen short, but then turning toward God's mercy with a desire for change. And in this way, we seek to return, and we do return, to our truest selves, knowing that that is where God dwells within us. Part of repentance is letting go of the habits of mind and of daily life that trap us, like the numbing and distancing we do to avoid discomfort, or the negative self-talk, the self-conceptions, the stories we tell to ourselves, the ones that paralyze us. We need to turn away from them and instead embrace something much more liberating. And that is the work of Lent. So consider exploring new spiritual practices in the coming weeks. Along with others in the St. Mark's community, you can adopt a brief Lenten service of prayer each evening at mealtime or before you go to bed. It's about 5 minutes long. Show up for morning or evening prayer by Zoom. Create cloth banners that name your needs and your desires and that you place before God, joining them with those same prayers of everyone in our community. Learn from the African-American mystic and activist Howard Thurman. Information on all of this is on the website, and it is a way for you to go deeper in your spiritual journey alongside your brothers and sisters in Christ here, even though we remain distanced. It may be your practice to give something up for Lent, but you're also encouraged to take on something new, something fresh and creative that can feed your soul. We will pray the Litany of Penitence today to stir up this process of repentance and to begin our honest assessment of what brings love and freedom and peace into our lives and what does not. It is like gardening for the soul. As winter gives way to early spring, we have to clear the dead leaves, assess the soil, amend it with compost and nutrients in order to give it more life, to support the life that is already humming so that it can flourish. This year, the Lenten invitation to repentance and renewal is very familiar, but the way in which we observe Ash Wednesday is not. Many of you long to be in the nave here together, experiencing the gravity of the music and the prayers firsthand, and receiving ashes imposed on your forehead. I want to assure you that even though we gather differently this year, the deep meaning of Ash Wednesday remains. Repentance, mortality, and grief over our own brokenness and that of the world. All of this is communicated through the imposition of ashes, and it goes back to biblical symbolism. Some history. In the early church, ashes were almost exclusively imposed on penitents and converts, people who were returning to the church or who were joining for the first time. And sometimes they even put on sackcloth on Ash Wednesday. By the 11th century, everyone received ashes at the start of Lent, but not by marking the forehead. Instead, ashes were sprinkled on the tops of people's heads, bringing to mind the handfuls of dirt that are dropped on a newly buried coffin. It was a visceral reminder of inevitable mortality. Years later, monks started the practice of making a sign of the cross with ashes on their body, but not on their foreheads. They put it on their tonsures, that clean shaven spot on the top of the head. So you couldn't see their sign of penitence or fasting. Their faces were clean. And that followed the direction that we heard in the gospel today. But still, most Christians continued to receive ashes sprinkled on their heads for centuries. Gradually, the practice turned to marking a person's forehead, maybe because people wanted to practice piety without getting their hair or their hats dirty. But that is how we got to where we have been, and you see that we have observed and used ashes on Ash Wednesday in many ways in our history of Christianity. So although this is a new way of observing Ash Wednesday together, it is also a year where we reclaim and adapt some old practices. In just a few moments, you will hear the invitation for a Holy Lent. After Dean Steve prays over the ashes, you will be invited to take ashes of your own or dirt from outside and impose them on yourself or with others in your household. You can sprinkle them on top of the head or make a sign of the cross on your forehead. But listen carefully as you repeat the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We trust that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and we are mortal. The reality and the unpredictability of death was our constant companion this last year. And we enter Lent with a deeper understanding of our frailties and our hunger for life. That is a fertile place to be on Ash Wednesday. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "See, now is the time. Now is the day for healing. Don't delay." Let us begin a Holy Lent.